As the author of at least 10 books and numerous articles, Dr. William Gairdner is the ideal person to add an academic flavor to our discussion this evening. His latest book, The Trouble with Canada Still, is an update on his 1990 book, The Trouble with Canada. If you've not had the opportunity to read this or his other books and the previous books, may I encourage you to do so. You will be enlightened, you will be challenged, you will be thinking as you go through that. Throughout his latest book, Bill writes about the need for strong family and the role that family plays in society around us. I believe that his observations for the past 20 plus years are very important for us to hear this evening. Bill is a graduate of the University of Oregon. I should say I'm sorry about that single loss to the Stanford Cardinals football team this year. I should say it, but... Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome Dr. Bill Gairdner.
Thank you so much. Go Cardinals. Thank you very much for having me. Let me offer my congratulations to the Institute for its great work. I think 5 years is a fantastic milestone for any organization, and you're to be commended for all your great work. Thanks also to everybody for coming. It's certainly my honor to be invited and to speak with you tonight. I have 10 minutes. I'm going to make 10 points, more or less. I have only heresies to bring you. I am interested in surfaces. I'm interested because we live day by day by way of surfaces. But I'm mostly interested in what the linguists at Stanford used to call deep structure. What's going on beneath the surface that's driving everything at the top? Now, sometimes when I speak these heresies, people say, gee, you're a pessimist. I say, no, I'm the most optimistic guy I've ever met. It's just that until you know the trouble with Canada, for example, you can't solve the problems because you're going to throw water on the smoke instead of on the fire. Now, my objective is to try to put my finger on the fire. It's only one man's view, but here it is. I think the modern democracies, almost every one of them, and Canada is one of them, and despite how nice they look and how well they seem to be doing, are out of control. I think 100 years from now, people will look back at this time and say, that's true. What he said is true. They're out of control. If you as a person could not ever pay your personal debts, I would say you're out of control. If you as a business could never get out of debt, I would say you're out of control. And if you as a country can never get out of debt, I would say you're out of control. And that's what I think has been happening. In the last 45 years, the CPI has gone up 600%. Wages in that time have gone up 1,000%. So you'd say, yay, the people are winning, they're getting ahead. Oh no, taxation, total taxation in the same period has gone up 1,700%. That tells you a story which says that the democracies are turning against their own people, putting them into a kind of long-term penury. Well, they're also turning against their original purposes. What were their original purposes? Well, I would say in the case of Canada and many other democracies, they had to do with freedom. But Canada's gone through what I call a regime change over the last 50 years. In the first chapter of my book, if that's all you read, please read that. Flagrant self-promotion here. But, I don't write books to make money. In fact, my publisher just went bankrupt 2 weeks ago, so I actually lost about $8,000. 5,000 copies sold out, and I don't have a penny to show for it. Not that I did it for that, but I really did it because I think these things need to be said. Everywhere we turn, we see more second heresy, we see more democracy and more democracy talk, but less freedom. I'm not talking about absolute freedom because I don't believe in it, but we see less measured freedom, less constitutional freedom, less of all those things that democracy was brought into existence in the first place to try to provide for those people who voted for it. There has been a transition over the last 100 years, third heresy. We have moved from a functional democracy to a welfare democracy and right through that into the current managerial state. I sum this whole thing up with the word statism with a capital S in my book. The result of this, in my opinion, has been the infantilization of the people. I can't go into that tonight because I got 10 minutes, 10 points, but we have been infantilized as a people, in my opinion, because the state has taken over far, far, far too many of the normal things that we are historically have provided for ourselves, for our families, and for each other, either for free, through charities, or by buying and selling those things from each other as goods and services. So heresy number four is that I think we are almost now or are soon could be described as a tripartite state. Tripartite state, to me, that's the most dangerous condition of all. That's the point at which the civilization, after going up and staying level for a while, really is on the downward ramp. Can it be turned around? I think so, but not if the people don't recognize the problem. So this is the next heresy. A tripartite state is one in which one-third of the people are producing the wealth. They're the makers. Another one-third of the people, forgive me, are fully employed by government or do so much contract work with government they might as well be employed, and this is at all three levels, etc., etc., etc. And that's the second one-third. And the third one-third is the sector of the people who are receiving significant portions of their income from government. That's a lot of people in Canada. And anybody can see that those last two segments will always gang up on the first. When that happens, you go from being a maker society to being a taker society. That's not so bad. You can have fun in a taker society if you're in the right place, in the right position. Government's a very good place to be, by the way, because you can write it down. You know, protect yourself. The people suffer, but you're not going to suffer unless you get thrown out, which is possible if the people ever realize what has happened to them. The unpleasant conclusion that I come to through these heresies is another heresy, is that modern democracies have changed to such an extent that they have become incompatible with human freedom and responsibility. They are moving in the opposite direction, and I'm saying to you it's time that we acknowledge that. It's a heresy, I know. It makes people feel bad when you say something like that, because democracy is a holy word in our system. It's what we have relied on as our saving grace. But it has turned against us. We have turned it against ourselves. So I think it's time to acknowledge this publicly and to actually start saying it and start thinking deeply, much more deeply, about what we can do to remedy the situation. Now I get to the family. What effect has this change in our society had on the family? Well, this is a truth, not a heresy. I would say that social bonding, what I call social bonding, is one of the deepest aspects of our human nature. Without social bonding, there is no civil society. And the second thing I would say, and this is a truth which needs to be recognized because it comes to play, as I'll show you in a moment, all social bonding generates exclusionism and privilege. Wow. Because, you know, you're not a member of my family. I'm not going to help you the way I would help my own family members. You know what I mean? You're not a member of my company. Get out of here, you know. You're not a citizen of my country, and you don't get the rights of citizenship until you are, all that kind of stuff. So social bonding has to do with exclusionism and the granting of privileges once you qualify as a member of whatever the group happens to be. The family, of course, being the biggest deal, because, you know, you're talking blood here. You're talking roots and all those amazing passions that people associate with family. What is the result of the things I'm now saying, and this is heresy number seven, is that we have set up here a conflict between the egalitarian state, which is what our modern democracies have become, statism, and the family. We have a competition for allegiance, because people have powerful allegiances to their families. But what do states need in order to maintain their tripartite sort of status, keep this gig going? They need allegiance from the people. They need loyalty. And they need to transfer it somehow from the things that really bond people, especially from the family, to the state itself. So the only solution for statism is to create the nation as a public family in place of millions of private families. Of course, they don't just outlaw the family. That's not going to happen. The technique of statism, in order to bring about the family, the nation as a family, is to dissolve the privileges of the private family. I talked about exclusion and privilege. You know, you don't outlaw those things. You dissolve the privileges of the private family, not by outlawing, but by converting all private privileges and benefits into public benefits. Okay, and this is the way in which you transfer the power of human social bonding from families and their local communities to the state itself. You weaken the one in order to strengthen the other. And one of the huge results of this that I see, I think, is a very dangerous one, and that is what I call autonomism. Okay, this is the institutional attempt, as I say, to dissolve civil society, and there are examples which bring a phrase to my mind, which is, these are all examples of seductions of the will. Okay, where the autonomous will of the individual is taken over from the group will or the common will of society and of the community. Here are some examples. I'll just whip through them. For example, 2 minutes to go. I'll get through it. Democracy is now not about the community. It's about one man, one vote. Even prisoners get these things, you know? The descent of sovereignty over time has been serious. It's gone from gods to kings to aristocracies to the people, and now it's resident in the sacred individual. You know, that's all we hear about, individual rights. We don't hear about community rights or society's rights, ever. We have administrative fracturing. All groups are fractured into autonomous units. For example, the family health card. I grew up with one. We had a family health card. Now we have individual health cards, you know. Welfare today. You can get welfare even if you're a rich kid from a multimillionaire family. You can go to the welfare office and start bitching about something that your parents are doing to you, true or not, and you're going to get on welfare. You know, someone's going to hand you money for your complaining about how you can't live at home anymore and all that kind of stuff. So we have this fragmenting of the social bonding into individual units. This also happens in the case of general morality, which used to be a community-based thing. Now, even at the highest level, which is our Supreme Court, it's become, John Stuart Mill's harm principle. This came up in the LeBay case at the Supreme Court level, has replaced community standards of morality. Sanctity of life, we all know about it. The very sanctity and the preciousness of a single human life in this country depends upon the will of one person, which is the child's mother. Father has no say, you know, it's just whether the kids want it or not want it, you know. So again, one individual is making this decision on the sanctity of life. No longer the community. Marriage, the disaffected spouse. A disaffected spouse can walk in and say, I'm out of here, I don't like this marriage anymore. One person can break up the marriage. Gender, it's constructed. Self-fashioning, it's called, right? Multiculturalism, this is the most dangerous one in my opinion, because it comes down to the idea of race and ethnicity, kind of a soft multi-fascism in my opinion, like a blood, you know, race cards for Aboriginal members of our reserves and all this kind of stuff, and a lot of people walking around the country who are into identity politics, which is basically race politics. So anyway, I've come to the end of my time. I want to say that if there is a solution to this, I think we should go back and start really thinking about and really reinforcing once again what I call the four Fs, which are freedom, family, free enterprise, and faith. Those things all work together as a kind of a molecule. And until we put the bits of the atom back together, the molecule is going to keep on falling apart. So thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, we had all these books we wanted to give away, so the author can sign that one for you if you'd like. I hope you're challenged already. We still got a couple of speakers left to go. Thank you, Bill.